Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another show of At Home with Victoria, with your host, Victoria Gaither, and co-host, Michael Kay.
Well, good evening, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in to another edition of At Home with Victoria. I am Michael Kay, your entertainment co-host for tonight. The lovely news lady is in the lovely state of Nevada, enjoying the hot Vegas weather, as I am stuck here in the soggy west or east coast, and it's very cold here too, so it's kind of gross. However, I'm not bitter, because we have a fantastic show lined up for you tonight. Most of you will know him from Star Search, singer, actor, author, multi-platinum recording artist, the original American Idol, I like to call him, and of course everybody else is calling him like that. Sam Harris is joining us right now. Sam, welcome to the show.
Hi, good to be here with you. I'm sorry you're soggy and cold. I'm in Los Angeles where it's hot and beautiful. Sorry about that.
No problem. Keep rubbing it in. So, Sam, born in Cushing, Oklahoma, raised in Sand Springs. What's it like?
Yes.
What was it like in Oklahoma as a young gay boy?
Well, difficult at times. it's right in the buckle of the Bible Belt, and so it was. I had to sort of find my own way, and I certainly knew that I was different from my earliest memories, long before it had a name that specified shame, which I had to learn to deal with and redefine. It was a dichotomy because my parents were very supportive of my passion, but were concerned about me. And my little town was all about Bible thumping, burning in hell. So that was a little tricky. But I did find my way and did find my passion, and I can't complain about it because it sort of created the amalgam of what I have today, which is pretty good.
No, absolutely. Now you left home at the age of 15, is that correct?
Yes.
That's pretty ballsy.
It is young. I look at my little 6-year-old and I see kids that are I'm like, oh my God, what were my parents thinking of letting me go at 15? But I was ready. I was driven and focused, and I knew what I loved, and I started working then. I didn't know I wasn't coming back. I went away for a summer, and then to work, and then as soon as I got back, I got an offer to go out again, and so my parents let me, which was astounding, or maybe they realized they had no choice. I don't know. I finished high school through correspondence courses, and then I went to school for a couple of years at UCLA. But yeah, I was on my own since around that time.
Yeah, that's scary. I mean, I was on my own since 18, but that's not 15 by any stretch of the matter. So you go out to LA, is that right, from Oklahoma?
No, I first went to St. Louis and performed at a theme park at Six Flags Over Mid-America. And then from there, when I came back, I got a job at Opryland in Nashville, which was the most amazing training ground because, I was with equally driven and ambitious performers who were dedicated. And it was quite amazing. I mean, there was an 18-piece live orchestra, and we did 5 shows a day. And you really learned about discipline and ethic and the show must go on and dealing with your injuries and your day-to-day, and you just did it. And speaking of injuries, I mean, there were, we were constantly injured and broke things and sprained things and had shin splints and dislocated shoulders. We just kept going. Our young bodies said yes, and then, of course, we paid for it years later with many surgeries.
Baptism by fire in that town, for sure. It's a tough town to go ahead and start in. That's for damn sure. Let's go to the obvious Star Search. I know you're probably sick and tired of speaking about it with all your book signings and everything like that, but 16 years old, Ed McMahon, stage of Star Search. You landed 25 million viewers a week. That's a heavy responsibility even for a 16-year-old.
But when I was on Star Search, I was older. I was 22.
Oh, you were 22. Okay.
I was. So I had a few years of independence and honing my persona, I guess you would say, and my repertoire. I had been fortunate to work with some really great people who helped me sort of define my style. And I had also played in so many, Michael, so many dumps and terrible little dives and back rooms of clubs and restaurants and bowling alleys and whatever would have me. And it's so important to have places to fail, you know, places where you can be bad and steal from other people and sort of figure out who you are. So by the time I got to Star Search, I had a repertoire. I had an idea of how I sounded and who I was. But yeah, it was a shocking turn, you know, from total obscurity to the, as you said, 25 million people a week. But you know, you don't see them all. It's not like they're in front of you. So it did not feel like an obligation or a pressure. The pressure was to do well every time, and I never would pick a song until I had won the previous week because I didn't want to jinx it. And you just go as you go. But yeah, it was a. I think I say in the book, suddenly fame had kissed me, or rather stuck its tongue down my throat, because it was all of a sudden, you know, from nowhere.
Yeah. No, absolutely, and it is, like I said, quite something to become. A virtual nobody to all of a sudden America's sweetheart. I mean, the popularity. I mean, Sam, let's be honest here. At 22, you were a gorgeous young man. You're a gorgeous young man now. Actually, we shared the same hairstyle for, you know, 3 or 4 years.
Did you don a mullet as well?
Oh, I did. Oh, yeah, and I was permed and highlighted too. Oh, yeah, I took it right. Yeah, I did it.
You went all the way.
All the way. All the way, my friend. But Over the Rainbow became one of your signature songs. So we're going to go ahead and listen to Over the Rainbow right now because Katie sent me it, and it's a fantastic rendition. More with Sam Harris when we get back. Don't go away.
When all the world is a hopeless jumble and the raindrops tumble all around, heaven opens a magic lane. When all the clouds darken up the skyway, there's a rainbow highway to be found. Where
way above the chimney tops. That's where you'll find me. Yeah, that's where, over the rainbow. Bluebirds fly, if birds fly, over the rainbow. Why then, oh why, can I somewhere over the rainbow, bluebirds fly, if birds fly, over the rainbow. Why then, oh why can I? If happy little bluebirds fly beyond the
with Over the Rainbow. Sam, my friend, pipes that could rival Miss LaBelle.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely. You know, I'll be honest with you. I'm originally from Canada. We didn't have Star Search actually in Canada, so it was really interesting doing research on you and going through your tons of YouTube videos and everything. You have a beautiful way of taking the most oversung song and really making it brand new again. And it was such a pleasure to go through all of them. You did a rendition of Drinking Again that I saw on YouTube, and that must have been during the drinking years, I'm assuming.
It was. Oddly, you would think that I would have chosen that song after I got sober as a reflection, but no, it was actually right in the middle of it.
Yeah, and you know what? But what I will say is that never sloppy, Sam. I mean, that rendition, I watched it about four or five times and stuff like that. Cried at every single, at the one moment also where you switch over to actually, you can almost tell you're slurring, and then you switch over into the song again. And just impeccable. So, I mean, kudos for being a highly functioning drinker.
Well, I wasn't drunk during that show. I was actually that was somehow how I managed to sort of, I think, delude myself for so long, because that YouTube video that you're referring to, I believe, is an excerpt from a show that I was doing called Spam, in which I was actually talking about my worst fears, my worst nightmares, and there was this monologue that sort of, throughout the monologue, I would become drunker and drunker, and in the fear that I would become this has-been sitting in a piano bar recollecting my past. And the irony was, I was an active alcoholic who was giving the illusion of managing my life, and yet I was portraying this character of myself in the future who was lost. And, you know, it's interesting that I was able to sort of create this thing and tell this truth on stage when it was really true in my life, but I hadn't even acknowledged that. So that's ironic, but not typical, I think. My husband Danny always says, if I want to know what's going on in your life, I'll come see a show, because I tend to sort of put it all out there.
Well, you did, and I bought it hook, line, and sinker. So let's keep going about after Star Search. What happens then? You released a couple albums. You've got 9 studio albums to date. I said, multi-platinum recording artist, selling millions and millions of albums. So your first album was released, I Am Sam, I think it was just Sam Harris, correct?
Yeah, it was just Sam Harris, and I toured with that, you know, and that was when everything was sort of fresh and out of the box. And my second record was Sam I Am, which I wrote most of and co-produced. And then I, you know, I was touring, I was writing, and I think it was a few years later until I made my next record. And then I started doing, you know, Broadway, which I have always loved, and theater is my probably my first love. And it's just been a real variety of a career, which I'm grateful for. You know, I've been able to sing and record and be on tour and concert and then do a Broadway show and then write a TV show and then write somebody else's show. And it's been fun and ever-changing. And now writing a book, you know.
Absolutely.
It's about rediscovering, you know, reinventing and remaining curious and finding out what's next.
Absolutely. The book, Ham, Slices of Life, is available at Amazon.com. Go ahead and do that. You can also find it on Sam's site at www.samharris.com. Sam read the book, bought it, got the hardcover, too. I'm so happy it was released in hardcover. I get so sick and tired of these friggin' paperbacks and everything like that. The book was hilarious. It definitely reeks of a David Sedaris kind of a lilt and stuff like that. But honest to God, Sam, moved me to tears in quite a few episodes. However, I thought the book was about Ham because I'm a big fan of Ham. But the Ham is in you.
I am indeed the Ham.
You're
I am
a hockey,
the Ham.
The horn
Sam,
mill,
I am.
My friend.
Well, absolutely. And you know, I was very fortunate to. I have a great publisher and gallery at Simon and Schuster, and so it all happened very quickly. Actually, the book came about fairly quickly, and as you know from reading it, it's a collection of stories and essays that are not chronological and not linear. It's a childhood story, then a showbiz story, then a fatherhood story, then a teenage story, and they're all out of order. And but yet I found a sort of arc through it, an arc through of themes of sorts. You know, but it's, as you know, it's a childhood showbiz story of me wanting to be in the Christmas play, and then there's a story that starts with five pages about a washer and dryer, and then there's a story that begins with my son and my four-year-old son and I have nothing in common. You know, it's all over the place, which I really love.
I enjoyed your wanting to read for Helen Keller. I thought that was actually –
Yes, when I was 5 years old,
one.
I was very
Absolutely.
Confident that I would get the role of Helen Keller because, you know, she's written in the play as six, and I understood her. I related her. As the ultimate sort of misfit and outcast, Helen Keller, I was fascinated with her and related to her. I felt, you know, that we understood humanity in the same way, and I was very confident I would get the role of Helen and went to actually try out for it, even though I'd been told that another part was being given to me. But I insisted on going to what they called tryouts and said, you know, they said, we've got a part for you. I said, but I want to read for Helen. And, of course, you know, Michael, Helen doesn't have any lines.
That's a lot of grunts.
But I was prepared to stare with my eyes slightly crossed and bump into furniture. But I didn't get it, you know. They did not give me the part. They gave it to a 16-year-old girl with breasts and gangly and tall and who wah-wahed with a southern accent, which was just dreadful, and I knew she would never make it in show business.
Hilarious. There was also an excerpt, too, where you were talking about attending Liza's wedding. You described Michael Jackson hilariously as an Irishman who was locked in a basement with no windows, whiter than...
I said he was so white that he looked like an Irishman who had been locked in a windowless basement his entire life. Absolutely. It was a peculiar cast of characters. You know, he was the best man, Michael, and Elizabeth Taylor was the matron of honor, and you know, in the book it talks about how... When the priest asked us to lower our heads in prayer, she did, and she never came back up. She never returned. She just stayed there, ever leaning, slumped over, sort of tilting to the, you know, as if she would topple over any moment. It was fascinating. You couldn't take your eyes off it. It was like that moment, you know, where you lean too far back on the hind legs of a chair, and you're not sure if you're going to – there's that split second, you know, where you don't know if you're going to fall backwards or forwards. That's what we were watching. It was like for 30 minutes. What's going to happen?
So worth the fall. So worth the fall. You know what? I don't want to make it sound like I've been stalking you, but again, just doing research and stuff. There's a lot of pictures of you and Liza. How long have you and Liza been? I'm assuming friends, absolutely. But how long? When did you meet Liza?
I think we met in like 1984. Yeah, I was in New York. It was my Carnegie Hall debut that I was going for. And Star Search had happened, so, you know, I was so full of myself, and I had carte blanche to go to Broadway shows and then go backstage and meet people that I'd wanted to meet. Because, you know, when you hit the celebrity thing, it's like you all, it's like you're all know each other, even though you don't.
Right.
So I was gallivanting around and as the new Sam Harris and went to see The Rink, which Liza was doing with Cheetah Rivera, and, you know, went backstage, and they embraced me as if I was part of the club. And so that's when we met, and then we remained in touch and friendly. But a few years later, when I moved to New York to live, that's when we became fast friends.
Yeah, there's a lot of really good pictures actually on your Facebook site. You can go ahead and check it out at facebook.com/SamHarris. It's his fan page. Click like. But there's a great picture of you with Liza, Barbara and Michael Feinstein at the memorial for Marvin Hamlisch, great man and stuff like that. Was that your first time meeting Babs?
No, actually, I met her. I think the first time I met her was when Peter Matz, who was a brilliant orchestrator and producer, he produced her first 7 records, and the cut that you just played of Over the Rainbow was orchestrated and produced by Peter. And I did 2 records with him, and he also orchestrated a show I had written, and we did lots of things together. And when Peter died, I was in New York doing the producers and flew back for his memorial and sang at his memorial with a full orchestra, which could be no other way because it was Peter.
Yeah.
And Barbara was there, and we met then, and you know, she was, I'm, because I was such a fan, of course, you know, and I've grown up knowing her music and her, those incredible arrangements, and she became a fan and was, and you know, she had all of my records and was searching YouTube, and it was hysterical. I would joke around, it was like, oh my God, she's stalking me, Barbara, stop. but, you know, and then I saw her, I've seen her throughout the years at different events and things, and she's always been so lovely and supportive. And in fact, when I re-released my records that I had done with Peter as a compilation, I asked her to write something in the liner notes, and was told that she had never, ever written anything on anyone's record before, that she just didn't do that. She didn't do that for other singers. And she graciously said yes and wrote a beautiful, beautiful quote that is on the back of that compilation, which was just was lovely.
Yeah. When you're rubbing elbows with Babs, you know, there's a whole level there. Let me ask you, with all of what you've done, what is there someone that you would actually kill to do a duet with?
This is going to sound really peculiar, but you know who I absolutely love as like the real deal is I love Lady Gaga, and
really?
I think she's really a theater person. I mean, she's so conceptual, and she is a storyteller. And I think the things she writes are so inventive, and I think her voice is the real thing. She's not an auto-tune chick, you know? And
yeah.
She loves, you can tell when someone is a fan of show business, of the history of show business. And you can tell when someone is not, when someone just sort of has only heard the last few years of music. And she is informed. She's informed artistically, image-wise, musically. She doesn't just go back to her own lifetime. She's clearly studied and loved the people, the predecessors, which was the same as me. You know, when I was growing up, I wasn't listening to the contemporary music of my time. I was loving, you know, Edith Piaf and old standards and the great lyricists. That's what informed me.
Yeah. Absolutely. Sam, Katie sent me another track I wanted to go ahead and go to, Badoom Badoom. Give us a little bit of a setup for this.
Yes. I think it was Badoom Badoom was a song that I'd written with my brother that was on my second record. And it had all the 80s production and it was, you know, full tilt, everything. And so my friend and web guy, Michael Agostino, had this idea that I should do an acoustic EP of, you know, five or so songs that I had recorded in those early Motown years. And we, just with me and a guitar, to sort of rediscover and relook at them and, you know, reinterpret them. And so I got with my friend Kevin Fisher, who's a brilliant musician, and we picked five songs, and Badoom Badoom is one of them, which, as I said, originally was so hugely produced. And this is just me and Kevin doing it acoustically, and we had a ball.
Yeah, it's a brilliant track. Sam Harris with Badoom Badoom. When we get back, more with Sam Harris. Don't go away.
Times were rough, hurt was all around me, but even hearts of fools can mend. No more love, that was when you found me, I guess that wood can bend. A friend's advice, got to keep your distance, play with fire, you can get burned. Not so wise, I lose all my resistance. Yes, I never learned. Oh, I thought that I'd felt love before, but no more. Oh, I never knew love was like this. Oh, honey, when you kiss me, I keep tossing and turning around, and you make my heart pounding. Ba-doom, 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 walking, I'm touching the ground, and you're making my heart for pounding. Ba-doom, 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 boom, boom. Ba-doom, ba-doom, ding, 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 ding. Ba-doom, ba-doom, ding, ding, ding. I confess, you have pulled my head up out of my hands and into the clouds. Who could guess a heart could be so sped up? How can it be so loud? I thought that I'd felt love before, but not more. I never knew love was like this. Oh, baby, when you kiss me, I keep tossing and turning around, and you make my heart a pounding. Ba-doom, 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 oh, walking, I'm touching the ground, and you make my heart a pounding. Ba-doom, 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 she.
Ba-doom, 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 ba-doom.
Sam, you got some shows coming up in Los Angeles at the Renberg Theater Saturday and Sunday. What can people expect from you?
Well, I've built a show of the same name as the book, Ham, Slices of a Life, which originally was going to be something that I could go out and, you know, when I was releasing the book in January to promote the book and go around, and I thought, well, I'll sing a couple of songs and read some stories, and this show emerged, this one-man sort of theater piece emerged instead that has become its own thing. So I've been touring it around, and that's what's going to be at the Renberg in Los Angeles. And I'm so proud of this piece, and I really love it, and I actually hope to be doing it for a long time. It's pieces of the book, but it goes into scenes. It's songs come out of the middle of stories. It's like a play with music, and I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, friends of mine actually have tickets for it, and I'm kind of when I told them you were coming on the show, I was happy that they were jealous, kind of a thing. So they're looking very, very forward to it. You can go ahead and get your tickets actually at samharris.com or call the box office at the Renberg at 323-860-7300. Sam, sadly, we are running out of time. After the book, I know the book is a good run for you. What's next from Sam Harris?
Well, I've started working on the next book, and I'm going to be doing this show, and, you know, I'm a full-time dad, so it's a big, fat, full, happy life, and I just keep trying new things, so I'm very grateful. It's a good time in my life.
Yeah. Well, you're aging wonderfully. I want to go ahead and actually say happy birthday to Cooper, too. I think his birthday is the 7th, correct?
It is. It's coming up. Thank you for saying so. Cooper will be
very
6
exciting.
Years old.
Yeah. Yes. Beautiful, beautiful kid and beautiful family. Please say hi to Danny and everything. For more Ham Slices of Life, go ahead and check out Amazon.com/
It's actually,
Sam,
you know,
Harris.
What I love about Simon & Schuster is they said, it's a phrase that you love, wherever books are sold. I just love that. So, yes, Amazon is great, but you can get it anywhere.
Absolutely. It's also available on Kindle and iBooks as well. But, Sam, it's been an absolute privilege talking with you.
Well, thank
success.
You. I've enjoyed myself.
Absolutely. Thank God you did. Anyways, you have a great night. Say hi to Danny and Cooper, and keep fighting the good fight, man. It's again, I'm so honored to have chatted with you. You're a bucket list interview for me.
Oh, I so appreciate that. Thank you very much. Thank
cool
you.
Cool beans. You take care.
Take care.
Sam Harris, go ahead and check him out at on Facebook, samharris.com/samharris. Click like, subscribe to him on YouTube, youtube.com/samharris. A great man and a fantastic read. Really funny. You'll cry in spots. Very, very, very worth the money. Thank you again for tuning in to another edition of Adam with Victoria. I am Michael Kay, your entertainment co-host. Good night to Victoria, and I guess I have to find the outro here. I've been so excited. But let me just scroll down here really quickly. And good night, everybody. Have a good night.
You've been listening to At Home with Victoria, an interactive news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Download us on iTunes as a free podcast and like us on Facebook. I'm Shelley Rand, musician and announcer for At Home with Victoria. Download my CD on iTunes and Amazon and friend me on Facebook.